Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back again. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, broadcasting from the Golden West Side of Fresno, better known as Mississippi. Fresno, ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to be back on the air tonight. We have a live show. We'll be having some guests calling in a little bit later. I want to say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Okay, anyway, I know y'all don't want to hear me sing, but anyway, it's Crystal's birthday today, and we just want to give her a shout-out, Crystal Joyce, for her birthday today. She is a good sister, revolutionary sister, and I think I sung happy birthday today in the bathroom, I think. I was washing my hands, but anyway. Anyway, y'all know I'm crazy. I like to have fun. And I just want to say happy Black History Month. Just a disclaimer right now, Black History is not just in February. It's 365 days out the year, 24 hours a day, every second on the second. 12 months out the year is Black History Month for me. So anyway, how's everybody doing today? We spent a long day for me. I'm really tired, but I said I'm going to be committed to these radio shows no matter how tired I am. And so we're going to have some fun tonight. Just want to give a shout out to all of the freedom fighters across the world, across the country that's still fighting a good fight of justice, all of our political prisoners, those who are the Black Panther Party who are still locked up. We have not forgotten about you. We thank you for all what you have done. We thank our ancestors for everything that they have done. All right, somebody call me right in the middle of my show. We'll wait for them, though. Okay, I'm back. Who will call me right in the middle of my show? Shame to call me right in the middle of my show. Anyway, what was I saying? Y'all know I'm crazy, but anyway, I like to have fun. But I think I was saying I was giving shout outs to all of those, our ancestors, that's where I was at. All of our ancestors who came over on all the ships, slave ships. We want to honor all of them who were thrown overboard. We want to honor all of those who, our ancestors who were whipped, our women who were raped, those ancestors who were taken away from their families and sold into different plantations and slavery. We want to give a shout out to all of them and let them know that we appreciate all that you have done. For those of you who know, my son goes to Southern University, and I just took him back a couple of weeks ago to stock up his room and everything. And so he's back there doing good. He has a 3.9 GPA. He just made the stump. That was stump group team that's there. He made the team. So he got all fives on all of the judges. So we're proud of him. But one of the things I want to talk about is I bought some books called Black Code. Can y'all see that? Give me a thumbs up if y'all can see that. I don't know if you can see that or not. Black Codes. Y'all see that? Black Code. So I purchased this book on Amazon. Took a couple of days to get here. And then, so this is the Black Codes in Georgia. And this book here is called The Jim Crow Law and Racism in the United States. So I haven't started this book yet. This book here, I've started. I've been asked to speak at the Black Panther exhibit they're going to have here in Fresno. And this is another book I purchased. I haven't read it yet, but it's called The Color of Law, A Forgotten History of How Our Government Segregated America. This is a book here. So one of the things that I do every day, I mean, it's pretty tough because I'd be so busy. A lot of you know that I'm running for mayor of Fresno, so we're right in the middle of the campaign. A lot of crazy stuff going on. The local mainstream media is trying to, there's like seven people running for mayor, but they're only talking about two, and that's Dyer and the this dude named Andrew Jans, who's a district attorney. So we have one arrest us, which is Chief Dyer, and the other one, the DA, who prosecutes us and throws us in prison. So that's the best we have to work with until I jumped in the race. But anyway, we'll deal with that show tomorrow. We'll be coming on. We have another show with that, talking about issues and things like that. And those of you could go to my Facebook. I'll repost it right now again. I put out my platform today for those of you who thought I didn't have a platform. Shame, 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 shame. You should have knew better than that. I'm not new to it. I'm true to it. So I know the game. And that's our platform. It's out. Share that. Look at it. Digest it. I'm going to be doing some direct actions here this week, leading up all the way up to March 3rd. Just want to make sure that we are being a good servant to all of you. That's one of the things that I keep telling our people, is that we have to be a good servant to each other and to the community. And so anyway, we're going to talk about a letter. A letter. Yeah, go to my Facebook and you'll see all of the different pictures and things. We will be this weekend canvassing again. I hope that many of you can come and be with us. I will be getting that information up on Facebook. This is a very, very important election, this mayor race. And we want to make sure that, you know, you have a voice, you know, you're heard, you're being heard, people are listening to you, and it's a lot. But anyway, tonight we're going to talk about, I'm just reposting this stuff on my Facebook so you guys can, also at the bottom is my website, what you can do is copy and paste that into your browser and then look at our website. I'll go somewhere and find the website and repost it. Let me see if I can find that real quick before we get started. Okay, some of you are going to our Facebook. We also have a Facebook, we have an Instagram and Twitter. If you have those different devices on your computer, check them out. Been posting a lot of Black history stuff on my Facebook today. Maybe this week I'll get to talk about Black inventions and things like that. You will be amazed at what we have invented in this country. It would just knock you out. to see everything that we have invented. Well, I want to thank all those who came from Merced, California to Canvas and walked the community with me. We just want to, again, thank you. But we're going to need your votes. Let's see, I think this is it here. Let me double check. Okay, that is it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and repost that on the, not sure why that's not showing. Okay. All right, bear with me here. Just trying to get information out to you all to share with your friends and family and et cetera. Okay, we're over here. All right. Tonight is, tonight. But this month is Black History Month. And we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So tonight I want to read a little bit of the Willie Lynch letter and see what you all think about it. Do you think it's true? Do you think it's not true? I'm not going to read the entire letter, but I'm going to read what I think. All of it's important, but I'm going to go ahead and read this Willie Lynch letter here. This letter here was from James River, on the banks of James River, was delivered by Willie Lynch in Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach the methods to slave owners there. So when you get a chance, go to your computer and just type in Willie Lynch, and you will be able to see the letters that this letter that was written by Willie Lynch. So my question tonight is, again, I'm not going to read the entire letter, but if you can right now, if you have a computer or whatever, just type in Willie Lynch and the letter will come up. And we will see what I'm talking about. So I'm going to start right here. It says, you are not only losing valuable stock by hanging. Now, we're talking about black people here, talking about slaves. You are not only losing valuable stock by hanging, you are having upsprings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit. You suffer occasion fires. Your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I am not here basically to solve your problem, but he's here to give a method of your of problems y'all have. I am here to introduce to you a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseers can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear. I use distrust and envy for control purposes. Now, we're talking about the slaves here, okay? Now, the method, he said, will work for 300 years. I'm going to read this piece again. We learned that his method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseers can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. He says, this is Willie Lynch now, I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Now, the South, they're talking about like Alabama, Mississippi, all those places down in those areas, neck of the woods. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age. But it is there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantation, statue on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley or on a hill, east, west, or north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now, so what he's doing now is like he's saying, okay, so I'm gonna size everybody up. You know, you got the man and you got the woman. You got the light skin, you got the dark skin, you got the tall, you got the short, you got the fat, you got the middle, you got maybe some slaves with hair and slaves with no hair, some slaves with teeth, okay, whatever the dude is talking about. He came up with a method to control us. Okay, now I'm breaking this down. I'm bringing this to today. Okay, now he said this will work for 300 years. Well, I think it's working past 300, 400, 500 years because black folks, we just can't figure it out. Okay, so evidently this letter that he wrote must be working. Okay. He says, let me get back. I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall ensure you that distrust is stronger than trust and envy. Stronger. See that? Distrust. Do black folks trust each other today? No, we don't. Do we envy one another? Yes, we do. Okay? The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self generated for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. Do not forget. Now listen to this piece here. I'm burning up my food. Hold on. I'm sorry, I got some cabbage over there cooking and I heard it popping. Okay, listen to this here. Talking about the Willie Lynch letter. If you all can pull it up on your computer or your phones or whatever, Just check it out.
Okay.
He says, you must use the dark-skinned slave versus the light-skinned slave. And the light-skinned slave versus the dark-skinned slave. You must use the female. We're talking about slaves here, okay? Black people, ancestors. You must use the female slave versus the male. And the male slave versus the female slave. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks, but it is necessary that your slave trust and depend on us. Okay, so let me go back and break
that down a little bit. Maybe some of y'all just came on. Appreciate y'all coming on. We're gonna
talk about this tonight. Because I'm trying to figure out, is this letter still working in our community today? Okay. So I'm gonna go back three lines up. Okay. You must use the dark-skinned slave versus the light-skinned slave. And the light-skinned slave versus the dark-skinned slave. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers, that means people in charge, who distrust all blacks. But it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. Now, when he say depend, trust, and depend on us, he's talking about white people, white boys, the white plantation owners. He's already put everybody against each other. Now he's saying that the only people they should trust is the white man. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these are your keys to controlling the slaves. Use them, he says. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensively for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. Now, I didn't read you the whole letter. All right. I didn't read you the whole letter. You need to go read it yourself. Okay? Because it's a long letter.
Well, I mean, it's a long letter, but there's more information depending on what link you go to.
So, when I think about this here, and I think about our black community, I think about our black churches, I think about our black organizations, I think about, you know, the different components that's in our community. Is this letter still relevant? Is it still relevant today? I mean, does it make sense? Do we see black people, you know, going against each other? Do we see the male trying to overtake the female, or the female trying to overtake the male? And I mean, where are we today as a people? Black people right now. I traveled
to the South a couple of weeks ago. And I had an opportunity to visit some plantations, some sugarcane plantations, what have you. And it was very interesting to see the conditions that my ancestors had to endure in this country. And a lot of you will just say, you know, forget about it, you know, that was back then, you know, this is now. But the problem with that is that because of our labor as black people, we made another race of people rich. Rich. Big money. And we were left with nothing. Now, black people built over 30 or more towns after slavery. And all those towns were burnt down. There were land that our ancestors acquired. The U.S. government did not give loans out to our people to work their land, but they gave all the loans out to the white men. So when you hear people use this terminology, you know, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. What do that really mean, pull yourself up? I mean, when something is taken from you unjustly, and then you're going to tell a person, well, why don't you go ahead and do better? Well, I was doing better. You came and took everything I had. Okay? This is where we are today, is that there is so much distrust in our community right now that is killing us. It is literally killing us right now. A lot of us are divided with denominations. A lot of us are divided with religion. A lot of us are divided with what we baptize in. A lot of us are divided in just whatever, you know. And it's like, how do we build trust with one another in the 21st century? Look, I've always said, we have a caller just called in, I'm going to click them in. I always said, I don't understand how my ancestors in 1921 could build Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1921. I want to see if I can pull that information up, but I'm going to pull my caller in. 5172. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show tonight. We're talking about Black History 2020. We're talking about the Willie Lynch letter that was delivered on the banks of the James River Colony of Virginia in 1712. Jump in wherever you're at. I'm going to try to pull up some research information on Black Wall Street, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Reverend Harris. I want to say happy Black History Month to everybody who's listening. And I really am listening just to hear what it is you want to share this evening, because there's so many things going on right now that Black people should be concerned about. So I wanted to hear what the subject was for tonight's show and just listen to your wisdom.
Well, thank you for calling in. Not hitting too hard tonight, just kind of freestyling a little bit. I just told the listening audience that I'm trying to research the Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's something I want to read to everyone that is really, really important. But we were talking about the Willie Lynch letter and how has that impacted our community. Has it impacted? Maybe it hasn't impacted anything. I don't know. What do I know?
All
I have is a 12th grade education.
I think it has. Willie Lynch pretty much outlined for white people how it is that they need to deal with slaves, and for those who know their black history and know what came after slavery. So you had your chattel slavery, your black codes, your Jim Crow, your segregation, your legal segregation, your de facto segregation, and, you know, which included white flight from certain parts of town, in any town in America. So Willie Lynch really set the tone for how white Americans were going to deal with Africans, with black people in this country, and how black people are going to in turn deal with each other. So I think it's very important to know what it is and how we need to change the effects of that. Because from Willie Lynch, not only were whites instructed how to deal with us, but it messed up the mindset for black people. We don't trust one another. We can't support one another. You know, we jump to the worst conclusions about one another. And where is the trust? I think you were talking about trust when I first tuned in. So this is an ongoing thing. It's like we don't trust ourselves and our own things that we built. But people with Black Wall Street didn't have that problem because they had nowhere else to go. White people didn't want to trade with us. So we built our own businesses and we traded with each other. Now that's not true. So that's sort of a reverse problem from segregation. They segregated us. Okay, we built our own businesses. Black Wall Street in Tulsa is just probably one of many places that, you know, had a very prospering black township. And they destroyed it. White people and racism destroyed it. So, you know, how do you build trust with one another? Right now, there is not a bank other than Bank of America in Southwest Fresno. There is no other banking institution in that area of the city. We need our own credit union over there. I understand, I could be wrong, that it only takes $250,000, $250,000 to establish a local credit union. I think it's doable. I really do. If we could collect between $1 and $5 from every household in Southwest Fresno, I think we could do it. So what's holding us back?
Well, you know, trying to find something here that I'm not able to find, which is very shocking to me right now. I wanted to read it for our listening audience right now. Let's see here. But what people don't understand is that this community was supposed to be passed down to us today. And it wasn't, because it was destroyed for no good reasons. But yet, when we look at the white people who now have big farms and big, you know, all this acreage and all this type of stuff. You know, now they can take that land, right, that our ancestors worked for and worked on, and now they can go get loans and different things like that, right, on the land. While the land that we had, right, was stolen and taken away from us.
That's right. See
you
that.
Know? So it's just, it's hard for me to process this conversation about, you know, pull yourself up from your bootstraps when someone has stolen your boots, then stole your straps, then stole
say
your
it.
Socks. And then you're going to say,
yeah.
Oh, well, pull yourself up from your bootstraps. I mean, I don't really understand how that is an injustice that has happened to us. And I feel that we're still post-traumatic stress from that. Economically strapped. Economically behind the eight ball. While all the white people who are beneficiaries right now of their ancestors murdering our people and destroying everything that we had. You know,
true.
I mean, our ancestors built Black Wall Street with their bare hands.
Yeah, yes, they did, and many other Black townships throughout this country, including in the West, in the Central Valley. You're right. The problem is that the powers that be, when they want to destroy it, they destroy it. When they want to steal it, they steal it. And when they want to resell it at a profit, they resell it at a profit. And we have no recourse through the courts because the system has been rigged against us. Now, people can say, oh, you know, all y'all do is bellyache, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? We have a reason to, because this is all documented. The things that have been done to Black Africans in this country. We have the documentation. And even the United Nations has now said that African Americans in this country deserve reparations. The United Nations. So, I think it's clear that if Black people are going to have anything in the future, not only are we going to have to fight for it, but we're going to have to fight to keep it. Going to have to fight to keep it. And this is one of the reasons why so many people are thinking about socialism versus capitalism, because capitalism is that has done a violence against Africans in this country. You know, the greed that goes with it, the inherited wealth of white people, people like the man in the White House whose father was a known Klansman. You know, he didn't just wake up one day and decide he was going to be racist. He was brought up by a racist. And now he's spewing that venom all throughout the country. And people are, you know, responding to it. Other racists are responding to it. So Black people are going to have to decide what it is that they want and what it is they're willing to work for and defend. Because civil rights movement of the 40s, 50s, and 60s are being rolled back. Voter suppression, you know, the purging of voter rolls in the Midwest and in Georgia. That's why Stacey Abrams lost the governor's race down there. So Black people had better register to vote. And they better vote.
You brought up a good point about the San Joaquin Valley. Many people don't know the history San Joaquin Valley when it comes to dealing with black, those are black who live here. There are black cities here in the San Joaquin Valley, and many people don't even know that. One of them is Allensworth. You know, Colonel Allensworth came out from the South and settled here in the Midwest. Tevinston is another one. Was a black town, which now, if you go there now, is predominantly Hispanic. When you go to Centerville, going down 150, is another town that our ancestors came from the South and settled. You go there now, you will not see anything of African descent there in Centerville. You know, so there are over probably 10 or 15 towns here in the San Joaquin Valley that were actually black created for our ancestors. And, you know, and you know, and I did a show on the USDA and how the USDA was a government agency. And, you know, and they, of course, during that time, you know, the decision makers was all people who were of white descendant, plantation owners. And they and our people own land right on the corner of the Mississippi River. And when I went back to Mississippi, I had an opportunity to see some of the Mississippi River, which goes all the way into Louisiana as well. And what's sad was that these white people would not give loans to our ancestors to work their land. And so our ancestors lost their land at tax default. While the USDA gave 99.9 or 100% all of the monies to white folks. White folks, they're able to buy tractors, they're able to buy this, and then those same white people who were supposed to give loans to, that was part of USDA, to our ancestors, they went and purchased the land on tax default after the USDA would not give them money to work their land. Now, some of our ancestors stayed. The ones that stayed, then they brought the Ku Klux Klan in to scare them off. My point is tonight, February 3rd, at 8:50 p.m., 2020, is that black people have built this country to what it is today. Our ancestors have just about made everything in this country that other people are living off of, having fun with, and profiting. Now, people go to KFC, that's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Many people don't know that Kentucky Fried Chicken, the recipe, came from a black woman.
That's right.
Many people don't know that.
That's right.
Many people don't know that the cell phone that people use every day was founded by a black man.
Right.
But you wouldn't dare go to a cell phone store and see a black man picture hanging up there saying that he's the founder of cell phones.
No.
You see where I'm going?
Yes.
But while America always paint a picture of black people being hoodlums, thugs, this, that, all this negative stuff.
All the negative stuff. That's true.
But the deal is that we have contributed. We have fought in every war. We have come back home, still being called a nigger. Could lunch counter still segregated. So, you know, I just have to tip my hat off to my ancestors, you know, because they endured a lot.
Yes, they did.
They endured a lot. When I think about, you know, when I was going through the plantation quarters, it was just a feeling. You know, it's like you could feel the spirits in those rooms, you know. And it got so bad for me that I had to go outside and sit on the step because it was just too much for me. It was just too much to see. And you know, they had different, like, some type of tape playing or something, and some of the slaves were singing and stuff like that. And you know, it was just too much for me. I just couldn't.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I can imagine how overwhelming it must have been.
I actually went outside on the porch and I started crying because I was like, how can another human being treat another human being like that? I mean, it's so barbaric how white people treated our ancestors. And still today, we still see this book. This book, let me show this book. I said, show people earlier. I'm reading this book called Black Codes. Black Codes. I bought this in Louisiana. And here's another book called The Jim Crow Laws and Racism in the United States. There's another book. There's another book called The Color of Law. Okay. So, This U.S. history stuff goes deep. This Black history stuff, and you know, and another thing that bothers me is that, you know, is that people want to downplay us, like, you know, we haven't contributed anything, or like, you know, you guys are just some loafers, you know, or, you know, you guys just in the way, you know. But yet, when you look at who's responsible for the elevator, a Black man. When you look at who's responsible for the street light, a Black man. When you look at who's responsible for the lawnmower, Black man. We look at who's responsible for the refrigerator, Black man. We look at who's responsible for the hot iron cone, Black woman. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. But
so So when you look at the history, we're looking at a history of death. That geniuses though we were and are, our ideas and our inventions get hijacked, and somebody else winds up making the lion's share of the money off of them. That is what white privilege and white supremacy does, how it works in this country, that you continue to denigrate and downplay the accomplishments of Black people, but on the other hand, you're going to take those things and use them for your own profit and benefit. That is the ultimate theft, and that is the shadow of chattel slavery today. So I really appreciate you doing this show, laying out the history, because a lot of people millennials and younger really don't know this because they don't teach this in school. So teach, brother, because they don't teach it in school.
Yeah, and, you know, and I had an opportunity to, when I was at the sugarcane plantation, I had another opportunity to meet another brother who knew this other man who made a tractor to lay sugarcane. And he actually showed me the tractor that the elderly brother who has passed away, rest in peace, he was a black farmer. And he said that he made this machine. And I looked at it. I touched it. And he said that the white people were so upset at him when he made that tractor. He said because he had about 30 acres. And he said he would just go out there and he would lay his sugar cane. And he said the white people were so upset at him, saying, "Who that nigger think he is? Somebody gave him that pattern. He stole that pattern from somebody, and he didn't steal it. God gave him the senses how to wail and how to make that tractor work for him." And he said, and the white people were so upset. He said he was a little kid at the time. And he would hear all this talk in the community. And he said, man, he said he could lay 12 acres a day with that machine he made. And he said, but every night he had to cover it up. I said, well, why did he have to cover it up? He said, because the white people was trying to come steal the pattern. So he had to cover the tractor up every night. See, everything that we have created or made or built either got burnt down, bombed, or stolen.
That's right.
Those three. And he said that he said, man, he said, but what's sad is, he said, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, he said, we had five big black farmers. Five. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. And he said, but the old men died off, which then dropped it to the next generation of kids. He said he had told his sons, he said they were farming like 30 acres over here. He had 20 of his own, and they were doing sugar cane. He said, make sure you pay this man by the first of every March. He said the kids didn't pay the man. And he said, and the man took all the 30 acres away from the family. And they lost all that money. He said the other family had a pig farm. He said the kids lost all of that. He said the other family had a cattle farm or something. He said the kids lost all that. And he said, all we got now is one farmer here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds reasonable, though. I've heard these stories before. My mom and dad's people are from Texas, and my mom's dad, he's got about 20 acres still down there near Bryan, Texas. And, you know, it's been a miracle that they've been able to keep it, pay the taxes and keep it. But the upkeep of the land, the children, you know, that's been hit and miss. And the house is falling down and just on and on and on. So what do you think it is, and what does it say about us as a people, that the previous generation was able to obtain the land and keep the land throughout their lifetime, but the children who should have been better educated than the parents were not able to keep the land? So we're reinventing the wheel every generation. instead of continuing that legacy of holding on to things. Why do you think that is? I'm curious to know your opinion.
Well, I don't think it's just one reason. I think it's multiple reasons. I think number one, when you don't have to work for something, you don't have the value in keeping
mm-hmm.
it
mm-hmm.
because someone else worked for it.
Right.
You don't understand the blood, sweat, and tears it took to get that land,
mm-hmm.
to work that land. Now it's passed down to you. You don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Right? And the minimum that they should have did was pay the taxes.
Right. That's right.
That next generation. So in the black community, we have done a poor job. And I don't know, not pointing fingers and all that, but we've done a poor job in teaching this generation of children the value of land. We had ancestors
mm-hmm.
who was trying to keep
that.
Their land, and the Ku Klux Klan came
that.
In and ran them off.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
Land, you make a good point, because land is one of the things that they don't make anymore. Whatever is there, that's it. They're not making land. They're not, you know, they can manufacture islands and stuff like that, but I'm talking about terra firma land. No, they're not making that no more. It is what it is. So I think you make a good point. I'm sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
No, I was just saying it makes you think about where are we really going. I mean, just here in California made $50 billion in ag.
Mm-hmm.
California, the whole state. I believe Fresno County made $7
billion. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right
in ag.
From what I've heard.
Now, black people ain't made nothing on any of that. But yet, we see other people, other ethnics getting rich off of the land. Because we're not, for whatever the reasons are, teaching our children the next generation. So that's why the Freedom School is so important.
I agree.
Because
we're
introducing the children to farming and ag.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone say, if you want to be rich, don't be a banker, be a farmer. But because of a lack of education, our people think farming is all about playing in the dirt. There's so many elements to farming.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the importance of what you're saying is so profound. I don't know if anybody was watching the news tonight, but there was a rumor going around that Fresno State was about to shut down its ag department. And oh, the uproar. Oh, the outcry. So there is a new director of the Jordan Center out there. They have a new dean. He came on TV and said, you know, calm down, everybody. You know, we're having difficulties. The Fresno State Farm is not going to shut down. We're going to keep going. You know, all I said was is that we got to find a way to be self-sustaining. But Joe Castro, the first Latino president out there, has said that, you know, they're going to keep the farm and on and on and on. Fresno is one of the premier academic centers for agriculture in the country, maybe even internationally, I don't know.
Right.
Ag is big business. You have said this many times. Reverend Harris, and that is one of the reasons why it's so important. Freedom School is so important, and why so many of our students have gone on to higher education degrees in agriculture, animal husbandry, you know. So we have to change the stereotypical mindset about ag and black people, because many Africans who were brought here on slave ships were farmers and were good at it and knew how to plant and how to harvest. So we really need to change our thinking about that, I think.
The truth of the matter is white people didn't know how to farm.
Mm.
So all due respect, and I'm not trying to, you know, turn this into no race bastard. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that black people have the expertise. We have the labor, the free labor, and we work the land with our hands. Mm-hmm. They didn't have tractors and all that. Our ancestors mm-hmm. worked with mules, donkeys,
that's right.
horses,
that's right.
hoes,
that's right.
all that
yep.
stuff. And made white people rich.
Yes.
And we don't have nothing as black people to show for. I'm going to tell you what this black man told me, the one that showed me the tractor at this museum.
Mm.
And we were walking around the plantations. He looked at me and he says, "You know, young man, he's going to ask you a question." I said, "Sure." He said, you think you're really free, huh?"
Mm.
Now, this man is 85 years old talking to me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know really how to answer what I was caught. My tongue was caught like, he said, "No." He said, you really think that you're free?" He said, "All you young people think that you're free." He said, "You don't know what we went through to get all of this here today." And the young people just turned their nose up to all of the hard labor that we did, all of the name calling, niggers and tools and working on plantations and all of that. He said, "Your generation is lost."
Mm.
And he said,
"My
really
God."
I was so numb.
Wow.
I didn't know what to say. And all I could tell him was, "Sir, I don't know you, but for whatever it's worth, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I want to say thank you for everything you did for us."
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
I said, I know you don't know me. And he was Creole. That was the other thing.
Mm.
I didn't really understand the Creole and all this stuff. He could speak Creole. I mean, I'm like, what are you saying? And he was just a good brother who said that you're not free. You're not free.
He was.
He said, "I got 30 acres of land right now."
Mm.
And he said, "And if I wanted to buy a tractor or work my land," he said, "the bank would want me to put my land up for collateral."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "But the white boy ain't got to do that."
Mm.
And he said, "I'm not putting my land up for collateral."
Mm.
See, we have to know how to play the game. That's why you were talking about the credit union earlier and all that stuff. You know, Fresno black community, I hate to say it, but I got to tell the truth, they're maybe 100 years behind the time.
Help me, Lord.
We just don't get
it.
I mean, just look at this mayor race that I'm running in. You got black people, and they have a right supporting Dyer, who is one of the most corrupted cops, police departments in the country. Then you got other black people supporting the district attorney, which his whole career is just locking us up with false police reports from the police department.
Right.
And then you got me, the black brother, who life has been on the line, standing for justice, equality, and liberation for all people in front of. I can't get support from them.
Yes.
So Fresno black community is 100 years behind the time or more. We just don't get it.
And not only that, it's behind and it's shrinking. Because there was a time when black population in Fresno, Metro Fresno, was about, it mirrored what it is in the country. So that would be about 12-13%. And now I understand we're down to 3-5% of the population. So my question is, what would make these black people support somebody who does not look like them? And I understand that, you know, we have the illusion of freedom. And in America, you can vote for whoever you want to. But it has been firmly established that Dyer and Jans are two sides of the same coin. And that being said, a vote for one is like a vote for the other. So why not vote for somebody that's going to change the dynamics of politics in Fresno, who's going to look out for everybody, not just the chosen few? And that is what's wrong with Fresno politics now. We have too many backroom deals. You know, the majority of us get sold out because a few of us get thrown some crumbs that they're happy with. So you're right. 100 years behind, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, we are at the end of our show. And want to thank our caller for calling in and appreciate her calling in. We kind of dissect the Willie Lynch letter a little bit. Hope that you all go back and read the entire letter. I did not read the entire letter. I just read you a little bit of it. The parts that I thought was really relevant to what we're talking about tonight. But I just want to read again just a little bit before we go off the show, just so that you can kind of digest this letter. Just type in Willie Lynch letter. It was read on the banks of James River in the colony of Virginia, 1712. A British slave owner is who he was. So let me read this here. I have a foolproof method for controlling your slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. My method, now this is Willie Lynch talking. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear. I use distrust and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Mm. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On top of my list is age. Mm. Top of my list is age. But it is there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. Size, the size, sex of a plantation, status, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley or a hilltop, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, should carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Do not forget, you must pitch the old black man versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slave versus the light-skinned slave, and the light-skinned slave versus the dark-skinned slave. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks, but it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensively for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen. I strongly believe that this letter is still active today.
Absolutely.
I feel that every time I read it, I can just think of different people, different situations. And see, this whole letter was created because plantation owners was killing their slaves. And this guy is saying, look, don't kill them, because look, us white folks, we ain't going to get out there working in no fields. We ride in wagons and stuff, okay? So don't kill them. Manipulate
them. Train them. That's
train
right.
Them. Okay?
Train them.
That's what this was about. You know? Because we have to be able to train them so that they will be able to keep working on land.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We have work
to do. Yes, you're right, Reverend.
I have to preach this Sunday at church, I believe. I think I do. Yeah, I do. And I believe that this is what I'm going to preach about, is this letter. And I'm going to have my members dissect the letter, read some of the different verses, and then we're going to have a discussion about it.
Wow.
Because I want to get the perspective of my members, seeing where they're at right now. You know, maybe they think the letter doesn't exist now.
Oh, it exists.
But we're going to
see. It exists. That's wonderful. Well, I appreciate your show. I really do. And I appreciate you allowing me to call in and listen to your wisdom. So, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of other people as well.
All right. Thank you so much, my sister, for tuning in and giving your perspective. I really, 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 really appreciate it. And we'll be having our show tomorrow. Also, for those who are watching, we will be canvassing the community this Saturday. We have people out there during the week going door to door. Hey, we're going to do it moving, and we're going to do it right, because that's the only way we can do it, is doing it right. We come with our heart. We love everybody. We're going to treat everybody with dignity and respect. And this is how we do it. We have to treat people with dignity and respect, and let everybody know they have a purpose in life, and let people do their purpose in life, and encourage them to do their purpose in life, because we only have one life to live. So let's live it to the fullest. All right. Thank you all. We're going to tune out. Peace, power to the people.